The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, publisher and editor of Generations Magazine. And welcome to the show. If you're a first-time visitor, we provide resources and topics and people talk about anything to do with the aging and 50, I call it 50 plus market. We were saying seniors before, but now so many of you baby boomers are coming to us and asking us for information for their parents. So today we have a great little organization here called Kukua Council that meets once a month, the last Monday of the month at Harris United Methodist Church. And today we have Mr. Jim Sean, former politician, now the president of Kukua Council.
Aloha.
Yeah, Jim. And then we have Kathy White. Now, are you a board member too? Or
yes, I am.
Of Kukua Council. Uh-huh. But also, are you still president of the Adult Day Center?
Past Association? President.
Past president.
Yeah.
But you still have you have a nonprofit, yeah. Hali Ha'oli.
Hawaii.
Adult Day Center in Aiea. Okay. All right. But anyway, Jim, yeah, I mean, I was talking to Mike Buck, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. And I said, I don't know if you've been on his show before, but you know him. He knows everything. Mike Buck knows everything. We're talking about what you guys do. And I said, you're the perfect person because, you know, you don't understand the political process, don't you?
Well, I hope I do. You know, it seems to be changing by the day, though.
But is it different politics when it was back in the time you were serving versus now?
It certainly is, because there was no internet. The way you communicated was door-to-door, in paper. There was no email.
You haven't been away that long, have you, Jim? How many years have you been away now? 10 years you've been away?
Oh, I left in 96.
Oh, really?
That's right.
20 years ago.
That's right. That's right. So, and even in 96, when I left, the internet wasn't there. There was no Facebook. There was nothing that, right?
They were still on diapers at 96.
So it was much more of a personalized environment, you know. And people came down to the Capitol. It truly was a gathering place. And people had pride in that. You know, the Capitol building is a marvelous open place.
It
opened
is.
In 69. Yeah. Opening day, everybody came. The secretary of the department would be leaning over the rail, sharing a bento with the director of the department. Now, that never happened normally, but this kind of sense of everyone is important, a democracy, the culture was there. People were doing hulas all, you know, on opening day. So it was a very, very different kind of environment. And now you could argue there's more communication, but there's less meaningful communication. It's shallower. And
I hate to use the word millennials and Gen X, the young guys younger than me, but yeah, isn't that so true?
Well, it's not necessarily true because of them, but they are born into that.
I get it.
Yes.
I get it. So Kukua Council, for the listeners out there that don't know much about it or never heard of it before, can you give a little background on Kukua Council?
Kukua Council started in the 70s. It's actually the oldest advocacy group for seniors in the state, you know, it was before AARP and others, right? And it kind of bloomed at a time when there was much political community activism. The neighborhood boards were just being created at that time.
Wow.
You had the environmental movement. You had the planning movement. You had, in the late 70s, the Constitutional Convention. You had all these things going on, the Hawaiian Renaissance, and with seniors as well. And Kukua Council was there lobbying early on to raise a consciousness about the senior wave that was coming. The boomers are coming, right? Even though the boomers had not yet arrived.
No.
And there were serious proposals for a state-run long-term care program, insurance program.
That I remember.
And many, many things. Many of the programs that we have today and the great organizations that are providing services were not there yet. Oh. Kapuna Care was not there.
Right.
And so I think it was a simpler time, a hopeful time, but also one in which the cupboard was kind of bare in terms of, and as a legislator, I remember being so impressed by some of the early leaders in this movement, Ruth Ellen Lindenberg, and some that just passed away, Tony Lenzer and Laura Manis, who had been there for
Laura Manis passed away a month or two ago, right?
That's right.
I saw that. Like, yes. Wow. I saw her the week before that happened.
Yeah.
Because I was at the Kalakaua Gardens where she was at.
Yeah.
And they said hello and how are you doing? But yeah.
So that first wave that we stand on the shoulders of really are passing away now. And it's now up to us to really work on taking their legacy to the next step.
That's true. So we got a young guy like Jim Sean here to lead Kokua Council.
Young guy, I don't know.
But I was telling Mike that because, you know, I think, you know, I'm an outsider when it comes to politics, even though my brother's a senator, and I look at it from outside. But what I'm just realizing recently, and of course through Kapuna Caucus that meets the first Monday of the month, Kokua Council meets the last, I'm sorry, the Kapuna fourth, Caucus meets the first Friday of the month. And Kokua Council meets the fourth
Monday.
Because sometimes there's five, right?
Yeah.
But I think the political process, understanding that process is really beneficial to Kokua Council with your background.
Yes, and we have evolved. I think in the earlier days, we had a lot of forums for the average senior citizen in an educational way.
Right.
But we always did have that focus on what's going to happen at the next legislature. And we created the silver legislature that happened at one time. And so now I think we're much more of a place where other advocates and organizations come to share what's happening, what are you doing, how do we understand that? Because the environment for services that are out there for seniors is changing so fast that even the advocates struggle to keep up, I think, with well, what's new now? The new Uber, Airbnb versions of senior care, the aging in place and other things like this. Total organizations like Kathy's with, you know, daycare. Many of these things were not that well developed. And even in the last 10 years, the number of private sector service a la carte, you know, organizations, mm-hmm. I think has really grown significantly.
Yeah,
that wasn't there even 20 years ago.
Right. Well, luckily for Hawaii, we have a lot of proactive seniors that get involved, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you guys to have Kokua Council on, is because my experience, I try to go there every month, the fourth Monday of the month at Harris United Methodist Church, 11:30. And one of the major reasons why, $5.
Yeah.
And you get a pizza or a Subway sandwich and salad. I love it. And that's, you know, I don't eat pizza that much. I try not to, at least, honestly. But I love to go there and eat pizza. But I just think getting the seniors and getting the retirees or whoever wants, anybody can come, by the way.
Right? That's right. That's right. Anybody is welcome. The parking lot is usually big enough to accommodate.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there are times when we have 30, 40, 50 people. Other times a smaller group.
Yeah.
But every single time we really try to focus on an issue that is sort of before us, before policymakers. And in fact, Kathy's going to be our featured speaker at the next one to talk about adult daycare.
Right. So, Kathy, so you're involved with Kokua Council. I'll say actually Kapuna Caucus as well, right?
Yes.
That means the first Monday of the month. But let's talk. I want to get people talking about the Kapuna Caregivers Act right now because you're very involved with that. And can you explain a little bit about it? Because hopefully they pass the bill and get some allocated funds.
Hopefully they pass the bill.
And give us some background on that as well.
Okay. The whole purpose of the bill was to assist caregivers to be able to remain in the workforce longer. Because many caregivers are having to quit work so they can go home and take care of mom, dad, auntie, uncle, whatever. So this bill was giving them $70 a day for adult daycare. the first round because there was just a limited amount of money allocated this past year. So we're asking for more money so we can expand the program and even expand the kinds of services.
Right. And so I know a lot of people, I'm kind of aware about the bill, but for a lot of people out there, give us some background on the criteria. And did they actually, there are some families that actually took advantage of the bill this year?
Oh, yeah.
2018?
Yeah.
And it's still a small number.
It's a small number, but there were only about nine providers that contracted to do it.
Statewide or just on Oahu?
On Oahu. So, and I was one of them.
So the criteria was you had to be working at least 20 hours?
30 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
That was 20 hours.
30.
It's always 30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You have to live with the person that needs the care.
Okay.
They have some kind of scale that they measure the need based on stressors that happen during caregiving. And it's a real long process, and I'm not really sure all the questions on it, but it was pretty effective. There was no financial criteria to meet, but it was just mainly the 30 hours a week working and taking care of someone.
And so that's $70 a day,
mm-hmm.
paid directly to an adult day center?
Right. It's directly to the provider, and it can be any 5 days of the week. If somebody's open Saturday and Sunday, that can be two of the days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it was only on Oahu, it was only paid directly to adult day centers?
Right.
But differently for the neighbor islands?
I think Kauai has, they spread it out a little bit for other services. Most of them was just adult daycare.
So when I first heard about this, the big question was, why only adult day centers?
Well, the bill was passed last July. Yeah. And for $600,000.
Right.
And which is not a lot of money considering all the 154,000 caregivers in Hawaii.
How many?
154,000.
Oh, yeah, I've heard as much as 184,000. So, but yeah, it's in the range.
That was the last AARP
figures
I heard. So, the bill passed. The money wasn't allocated till October. When they got the money, it was a scramble to figure out how are we going to spread this money out as evenly as possible.
Right.
So, instead of trying to allocate for 20 different programs and figure out how much this person can get for transportation and this person can get for food, let's pilot one program, and that happened to be adult daycare. Because, again, that helps caregivers stay in the workforce, and I think that was the main focus.
I recommend it all the time. I mean, where can you go for it? It was $65 to $85 a day, including a meal or a snack for your loved one. And, mm-hmm. You drop them off at 7:30, come back and pick them up like 4:30, 5 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some are open on weekend. Do you have an idea how many people were able to take advantage of the program?
The last figure I heard was somewhere between 70 and 80 people because everybody didn't want 5 days a week. Some people just wanted 3 days, so that gave more money in another pot. Yeah.
Okay. And so for Oahu, how many more? Are there all the funds gone already, or are they continue to go?
They're continuing. They continue to go. The cutoff for this program is June 30th. But so they're still signing people up, and people are still being told that they have qualified for the funds. I'm still getting calls daily of people that have been that are qualified and want to come and check it out.
So that June date, what is that date now?
June 30th. There's no 31st.
Cut off the date.
That's the end of the pilot program.
So hopefully all the funds after June 30th.
Hopefully all the funds will be used by then.
Oh yeah, I see. I got
okay,
it. But not after June 30th. So what do families do after June 30th?
Well, that's a loaded question.
I'm going to go raise the red flag, pass the bill.
Yeah. Well, so that's why we're pushing so hard to get the bill passed so people can continue because it's helping them out. I mean, you hear heart-wrenching stories about how much it's needed. And they've got to pass the bill. They just have to.
Well, that's Jim's job.
The June 30th is the end of the state's fiscal year.
Okay.
So the money is per year.
Has to be used by that time?
Not necessarily, but mostly, But for what we're looking at is more money for the next fiscal year, right? But the next fiscal year, that money probably won't start going through the pipeline till the fall. Yeah. Right? So there's going to be a gap time. Mm-hmm. And part of the issue is, even though you've heard about it, you may qualify for it, be patient. Because the public relations around it and the education around it has whetted everyone's appetite far above the capacity to really serve everybody that is needed, you know.
Right.
And we should also give a shout out to the guru who helped create this, Dr. Larry Nitz, up at the university, the Department of Political Science, who has crunched numbers for decades, was very much involved in the early efforts to
create some kind of program
for long-term care. And so Larry has been really a wonderful resource. And it's an example of how the university is often a wonderful resource when somebody like him takes it upon himself to make himself an expert in this sort of thing. And with that confidence, with Larry's research and crunching the numbers, that confidence allowed the ledge to pass this bill last year.
Yeah.
But it's still the amount of money, and we don't know because, you know, the administration didn't want to put more than $600,000 in even the next year, right? So are they going to restrict it? We don't know. And so there's a note of caution here. Don't get too excited yet, right? It's a great idea. It's starting to move, but be patient and try not to get angry if you can't get those services right away.
Right. Well, it's the first in the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
First in the United States.
Yeah. And that's my whole point. They did a national shout out to let them know about the program. Okay, so everybody in the world knows what we're doing. Everybody's looking at Hawaii to make this work. So logically, the legislature should push it on through.
So, you know, say nationally, Hawaii is leading in a lot of different things with health care insurance and Medicaid and things like that. But since you mentioned because it's being paid to adult day centers, can I ask you a quick question about that industry? How prevalent is adult day centers on the mainland? I know here we have 20, 21, something like that, 20-something.
There's more than that. But I got to tell you that it's not as prevalent as it is here. Because when I came to Hawaii 8 years ago, I'd never even heard of it, and I've been in long-term care, the industry,
really?
For a long time.
I think because we're so close, driving to an adult day center where it's 5 or 20 minutes, anywhere on this island, on Oahu, there's probably one.
Right. Well, it's also the culture here. I mean, we want to keep our kapuna home with us instead of putting them in a nursing home. So that's one of the motivations to have them.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, let's say in Atlanta, you can't drive 40 minutes just to go to one adult day center, and you just want to congestion of population.
I want to just clarify, though, that the focus on adult day is only the city and county's policy decision. They could have said, we're going to do three services
right.
or four,
right.
and they could change that in the future as well. So even though it may make perfect sense to focus this first, they are not limited by the law
by any means.
No. It's quite a long list of what you could do.
Yeah, the EOA wants to. They want to expand the services too, to spread the money out more. Because if they expand the services, the money will go further. More than 180 people or 200 people will be able to be served because everybody doesn't need Meals on Wheels
every day.
They don't need transportation every day.
Right.
Some people don't. You know, they don't even need adult daycare every day.
Right. So I heard the number's about 4 million. They're trying to ask for it. They might get 2 million.
4 million.
Yeah, and that will be like in the budget. It won't change the law. So there's no real tinkering around with the basic structure, the way Larry Nitz wrote it and others, you know, modified it. It's basically how much money, when it gets out there, and it's really being implemented by each county. You know, each county's, even their Kapuna Care outreach services is very different.
Yeah.
Some of the neighbor islands, it's a really long list of amazing services they offer. City and county has always had a shorter list for the regular services. So in many ways, each county and each county's committee on aging has input and some influence as to how this will roll out. And I imagine in the next year or so, people will say, hey, let's tweak it this way. Let's improve it that way.
Well, that was, you know, when we look back at it, I think starting with a smaller amount, starting with just adult day centers, makes a lot of sense to keep it, you know, in control instead of you're going to be all over the place with 20 different providers and who gets paid, blah, blah.
Let's see how this works and then move forward.
Yeah. So I did want to ask you, and I asked you earlier, that one of the bigger bills that was passed by the governor, signed by the governor last week, was the Death with Dignity, or what was the other name? Our Care,
Our Choice.
Our Choice. Yeah. And so I noticed, I mean, I still saw an article the other day about against the bill, and rightly so. I mean, everybody has a different opinion, but did Kukul Council ever go to testify at all with that?
Many of our members have. You know, basically, there are philosophical and other reasons, notwithstanding all the many safeguards that have been built into this bill.
Yeah.
But I must say, and I am often critical of my former colleagues, but I must say that the handling of the hearing was so respectful. Shout out to Representative John Mizuno, who conducted this. He was respectful, courteous to every side, and everybody got to say their piece. Mm-hmm. And there was not a lot of shouting or anger in the auditorium. And I think that that was a very excellent example of how to conduct a respectful public hearing on a contentious issue. The bill has changed quite a bit from last year. It's got a lot of safeguards. Two or three people have to sign off. A person has to be certified as in their right mind, you know, before they say that, and you have to be, you know, diagnosed with terminal, you know, disease. And I really suspect it won't be used nearly as much as people think it might. But the fact that it is an option is a great comfort for a great many of our older seniors.
Right. I think Oregon was 3% people used the bill, used the law. It's a very small number.
Yeah. Very small.
I think part of the opposition to that bill was the fact that there wasn't wording in there that talked about certification of the people that are going to be doing it. Last I heard, I haven't seen the final.
You mean the
bill.
Doctors?
The doctors, yeah. There wasn't any specific training or...
That's for the mental health assessment, I believe.
This is for actually giving the medication.
Oh, yeah, but there was also that issue of who's qualified to say you're sane or you're not suffering from dementia or anything like that.
You know? Right. Actually, Compassion Choices, which is a national organization, one of the oldest organizations that have been helping states to push this bill, actually sent me an email Wednesday that California... law will be tested. Did you hear about that?
No.
They're actually just, there's a faction at the Capitol in California that believes what you just mentioned, that they need to certify, make sure that person is the person and is trained and qualified to make that designation. So there's a bill coming out in their legislature. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But I think it's an option, I think. I think in Hawaii, we're more conservative than most states. I think it'd be, I can't guarantee it, but I would foresee it not used as much. But what it really has done is had that conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think it also raises a very important issue for all these issues, and that is that every individual towards the end of life and their family are very, very different often from each other. It's hard to fashion one rule, one law that really fits everybody's circumstance. So we do the best we can. And it's very difficult sometimes to come up with just the right kind of quality control and regulation and not stifling innovation to serve the entire senior community, which is not just one big lump.
Well, that's why we got Jim Shaw from Kukul Council here and Kathy White. We're going to take a short break. We're here with them talking about getting involved and getting people to understand the political process when all these senior issues going on at the Capitol here. But anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio.
If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
Let's party at the Cow.
Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
Let's party at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Let's party at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low-impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilima@lehano.com or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit VoidVacationsHawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777. Who's got the best deals in Vegas around? Call 591-4777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Good luck, we go play. 591-4777 today. Good luck.
We go play.
Complete board 5-night packages from $6.99. Vacations Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. As you guys know, the April-May issue of Generations Magazine is out. A beautiful cover at Iolani Palace featuring Puakea Nogomaya, Kumu Puakea Nogomaya, talking about the Hawaiian language and the legacy of that. And what a great story. What a gentleman. He's also Kumu Hula at Iolani Palace there. And thanks to the Iolani Palace and our great staff of Wilson Angel and Brian Suda, who took the photographs. But yeah, some great stories in there. And don't forget, April 28th is our aging, our financial legal workshop at the On One Hotel. Anyway, so we're here at Kukua Council, President Jim Sean, retired politician Jim Sean, and Kathy Wyatt, also board member of Kukua Council. So, Jim, one of the biggest topics, and I know we got to save some time for other topics, one of the biggest topics that we've been reading in the paper, not only these monster homes, but the illegal aging in place homes. Can you call them illegal aging in place homes?
Some are. There's really four kinds. They're used to be licensed and just said, I don't want to do it anymore.
Care homes.
Care homes. Just wandered off.
That's one.
Yeah. The second is used to be licensed and was so bad, the health department yanked the license.
Oh.
Right?
We need those lists. We need those lists.
Yeah. A third kind is an aging in place, totally new one. That never was licensed, but has a different model, right? And a fourth is actually somebody's private home that's kind of being converted with aunties, friends, or whatnot, renting out rooms.
People they probably didn't know, too.
Yes. And here's the dilemma. The way we usually license, we thought of these care homes as a facility, primarily. It was very clearly a facility, providing services for residents, and the person who ran that facility is responsible for all the stuff, right? But now you have someone who says, I'm just renting this room out to Percy for $6,000 a month, and Percy on his own has gotten, you know, a contract with Kathy to come in and provide certain services. Not my job to worry about that. So a different legal and financial structure, right? And it's not clear that that model fits the definition that's in the law for a care home, right? So we may say, oh, naughty, naughty, you're illegal. But it also may mean that you're so different that the law has not caught up with you to do it. The other thing that's happened is that even with many of the care homes, they are actually buying a la carte so-called home health and home care services that they're plugging in. Home health services are regulated by rules by the department. But the more kind of supportive ones of bathing and other things that are less hardcore health, home care, never were regulated. The Department of Health, for over 10 years, has been told you must adopt rules to regulate them. Never did.
They're almost the same thing, except for home health is required to have an RN on staff.
Well, they have. They do medical stuff. The home care is doing.
Right. They can't do administration of certain medications, things like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of home health light,
right,
you know.
Right.
And so the dilemma then is that those who are in charge of implementing even the existing laws have not carried it that far, right? And so say you have a private home that's, you know, has three or four bedrooms, and you start renting them out to people and kind of converting it. Mm-hmm. And you may have even the same contract with home health or home care agency, right? You know, what is the nature of that? Can the state come knock on your door and say, we have the right to come in? What do you mean? I'm just renting, right? So this, there is a very legal issue of what gives the state entry if you're not already licensed.
So let's just find out. So is the state doing anything or Attorney General doing anything about the laws regarding it?
They're trying a little bit, right? But for those that used to be licensed, kind of, yeah, we know who you are. We know you're still doing it. Probably would have a greater likelihood of the legal system saying it's okay to enter and inspect, right, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and catch you at being illegal. But for these other models, it may be a more gray area unless
right.
if we adapt the law, right? We have really reduced the or not provided adequate resources for those who do inspect, particularly the long-term care ombudsman, who has to deal with 12,000 residents of various care homes to ensure that they have problem solvers and proactive quality control, right? So we are really short on human resources and experts to reach out even to the ones that are already licensed. So we have these new models, and as we were talking, you have a new model for a cab. It's called Uber or Lyft, right? You have a new model for a hotel. It's called Airbnb. How do you get at these? How do you provide abuse, financial abuse?
Oh, I know.
It's you think, number one, oh, no-brainer. But the fact is it's a lot more complicated.
Legally
yeah. and financially, right? Yeah. That's why we have this bill to try to get at this. It's a tremendous... AARP has been great in honing in on this notion of the care home providers not being licensed. Because if you say all care home providers must be licensed and they cannot serve an unlicensed facility, now you're starting to really reach out into many ways of getting at quality control.
Right.
But it is not necessarily easy.
Well, John McDermott, the long-term care ombudsman, can't even go in these homes.
That's right. That's right. He has no access, right? And even the ones that are licensed, he doesn't have the staff to go into all of them as often as they can. And even when they are inspected, it usually takes months and months before the inspection report is posted for us consumers to see.
Right.
And then they redact, they black out all the good stuff. You know, so you cannot... It's very difficult for consumer protection as a way of looking at this. How do we provide good consumer protection, not only for health, but for financial protection, so that you are not exploited in some way, right? So the so-called aging in place issue is a serious one. Many would argue if we don't do something now, So many who are licensed will just say, goodbye, exactly. Don't need the inspections, I'm out of here.
So what about the bill? What's the bill entail? Do you know, Kathy, or both one of you?
It's still kind of vague, I think.
Well, the House passed a bill that attempted to redefine what a care home is and also attempted to create a kind of transition period where certain ones can come back in kind of like amnesty, don't want to say amnesty, but amnesty, come back in. Now you're licensed for another 6 months till we get to you. But we want to encourage people to come back under the fold of licensing in a way that they don't have to raise their hand and say, oh, yeah, I'm a criminal, right? You know, because if you do that, then you don't get, you know, real compliance, right? And on the Senate side, the AARP focus has been on these, the not having rules or regulations for home care agencies, and maybe giving them an interim kind of status so that they can come back under the fold of the Department of Health regulatory scheme, right? Mm-hmm. So part of it is, how do you induce people to get back under the appropriate thing? Also have a stick out there that we can whack you with a good fine, maybe take you to court, you know, that is a disincentive for not coming back in. It's not that easy to fashion that kind of bill.
Right.
And some are a little worried that maybe we're overreaching here or underreaching there. It still is an issue for some to say, who gets the right to knock on your door if you're not licensed and say, I must be able to come in
right.
and inspect your private house that you happen to be renting to 16 unrelated individuals.
Well, we were talking earlier, Kathy, they actually started an association of these aging in place homes, per se.
Right. And I want to address the aging in place misnomer. They call it aging in place so they get away from care home, okay? But it's not an aging in place facility. The people come in, they pay cash money, and when their cash runs out, they have to find a Medicaid home.
They have to find a Medicaid
home. Yeah, because the people that are running these, I'll say illegal
Well, they're not taking Medicaid, so it's got to be private pay anyway, right?
Right. They can't take Medicaid because it's not...
Right, not licensed.
Yeah. The other thing is...
But you said there's over 300 or something?
That's the last number.
Wow.
But AARP, Carrie, what's Carrie's last name?
Kumatsubara.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember his last name. Carrie explained the whole situation, and what some of them are doing is because home care is not licensed or not regulated, a lot of these places are saying they are just giving home care, which is bogus.
Huh.
They're doing a lot more than that. And the people that bring home health into the aging in place facility, those people aren't there 24/7. So who's taking care of those people that need the help when those home health people are not there? So it's pretty clear to me that everybody needs to be regulated. And no matter what you call it, you know, a duck is a duck.
Well, maybe Department of Health needs to allocate more money so they can have more investigators out
That's
there.
That's exactly
and,
what.
And I see where they're coming from, but...
I even volunteered to do it free. I'll be one of your inspectors.
It's just going
to
take one case that something tragic happens and they're going to try and do something and say, well...
It's already happened.
You might think of that, but it's only a couple of years ago that someone in a licensed care facility was so neglected that she died.
Well, almost every year now for the last 5 years.
Yes, and so even under the current regime, right, there's a lot more quality control that needs to happen within the Department of Health to ensure it works, right? But part of this issue is that if you create a law for a particular model and they come up with another model and another model, you have to be very flexible and facile in how you define things. Definitions are everything to reach out and to really help the most vulnerable of our seniors. And as you already alluded to, the non-licensed ones can only take private pay. What does this mean? They are kind of skimming the cream out of everybody else, right? If private pay pays more, right, than Medicaid, which it does usually, right? So, you know, maybe I could have, you know, three Medicaid and two private pays in my facility, right? The private pays have all gone off, right? I'm now stuck with, let us say, the lower reimbursement for Medicaid. So this is actually hurting the well-licensed, compliant facilities and operators, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was talking to Scott Spolino, the elder abuse attorney from the prosecutor's office. He goes, it's going to take one case and something major happens. And, I hope the Department of Health is ready for that. And that's all I can say.
Well, I hope the attorney general is ready for that.
Yeah. Well, it's a political season. Yeah. I don't think he gets involved this year, but it's just something I think more and more, I've been doing this 18 years now, and I got in this business, I'm sorry, 15 years ago, I got into it. I knew this was the future in business, and I got into this. I could see the demographic shifting older and older. I was only, 42 at the time. And then when I got into my business, and now everything is coming through now. The lack of, beds, first of all, lack of CNAs, lack of nurses in Hawaii, it's just now. And so I think, we got to do something now. I can foresee 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road, if not sooner, we're going to have some major problems.
Yes, and you raise an important issue that whether you're talking about the monster homes and or kind of overlap the aging in place things, out there, we do not have the capacity to really address all the senior needs, right? There aren't enough Arcadias out there, right?
Not a whole lot being built besides Plaza coming up.
And you have this sweet spot in the middle. Too rich for Medicaid and too poor for Arcadia.
It's a middle income.
It's a middle income. And you don't stay in the same status as I think, somebody just mentioned that you may go to an AIP, aging in place facility and pay because you're kind of not that, ill yet, and you're still functional, right? But now you slide maybe into having memory issues and maybe you have a stroke or whatever, you can't even stay there anymore, right? You've got to find another place, right? So this is kind of like a temporary resting spot, exactly. In the middle
that's a good
of the
way
stream,
to put it.
You're crossing the stream.
Or they run out of money.
You run out of money, that's right, and your kids, they're under enormous debt for their college educations, right? So they don't have a lot of money for you either, right? We don't have a state long-term care insurance, program.
Not yet
for this.
Ask Larry about that one.
Yeah, but there are some interesting things going on. There's an attempt to encourage savings, special savings accounts. This legislature, there's this issue of paid family leave. How that's going to work economically, I don't know. Even the advocates are not quite sure that we found the sweet spot yet of how to implement that. But they're all kind of coming together to recognize that people have to have a safe and appropriate place to live, a dwelling place,
yep,
and a set of services. And I don't know, maybe the Arcadias and the Plazas don't make enough money to have expanded enough. Right?
Well, the problem is the cost of real estate in Hawaii is so costly to build. But I did want to get to, we're here with Jim Chan from Kukua Council, the president, and also Kathy Wyatt, a board member. But Kukua Council, we want to encourage people to get involved, know the issues, know the political process. So you guys meet Monday, 11:30 to 1
right,
o'clock.
That's right. Our next one will be the 26th, I believe. Mm-hmm. Also, during the legislative session, we help people understand the process. We help people say, look, these are the bills to watch. Forget the others. These are dead. you see so many
people.
Well,
that's so true, though.
Yeah. You see so many people scrambling in panic during the session, right, not realizing that in, 3 or 4 weeks into the session, 2/3 of the bills are dead. They have to move to another committee, and they haven't. It's called something as esoteric as the first lateral, right? And so a lot of people just, even the departments, I'll wait to the first lateral and see what's still alive. Then I'll go in and really, work
right.
at it.
Right.
It's very important for people to understand that if you're looking for money and you have a special bill for that, sometimes the best thing is for the bill to die and for that money to get stuck in the budget right away, right? And so just understanding the rhythms of that session mm-hmm. helps people. And if you are part of an organization, you may have a little board of directors, and you may have a process you have to vote on what you're going to be for or not for, right? You need actually more time than a lobbyist who's paid and they know exactly what to do, right? So the community's engagement is very important, and that's what Kukua Council tries to help with, is that you don't have to be a high-paid lobbyist to be an effective spokesperson, an effective voice. And we can say, look, these are the guys you got to talk to. By the way, this is the committee clerk. Did you know that committee clerk is more powerful than many members of that committee?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go make friends with that committee clerk. And you know, we say this often, but this is a democracy is a set of relationships. You want to create a relationship with a legislator to the extent that you might be part of his sort of like kitchen cabinet, so that they will say, you know, we're drafting this bill. Before I draft the bill, I'm going to call Percy. Percy, what do you think? You know, that is the ultimate, you know, effectiveness. And later on, we might want to amend this bill. Before I make that decision, I'm going to call some of my friends.
But they might ask me for money.
Yeah, well, they might. But, you know, I think they know that the seniors are not necessarily, you know, there for money. They're there for wisdom, for experience, for knowledge, for being grassroots on the ground. Look, good idea, but this is the way it works. This is reality. And you may think I have this wonderful idea, but as a Southern consultant for politicians once said, what ought to be ain't is. Right?
Yeah. So true. So limit real quick, we got a few minutes left. May 23rd, is that correct? The you're good, the bad, the ugly?
Now, May 23rd at the Capitol, one of the big rooms, all the community organizations and legislators come together and we review how they did for that session for seniors. And that's why we call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. And kudos to those legislators with the guts to come. And here, frankly, you did well here. You really fell short there.
Right. So I encourage everybody, contact Cuckoo Council. You have a website as well.
We have a website. That's
right. .org, right?
And we really try to send out, we have newsletters with a lot of good information.
Yes, if you want to get on that newsletter list, go to the next Cuckoo Council meeting, the fourth Monday of the month, every year.
Yes.
But yeah, get involved. And like I said, it's $5 for pizza or a Subway sandwich.
And that's just you know, donation, right? You know?
Right.
If you don't want to eat pizza,
yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, you can just come.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your time, Jim and Kathy.
It's glad just, to be here.
You guys are the lobbyists for us seniors out there. Really,
we are one of many,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's important to understand. There are many new groups, terrific organizations.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Terrific knowledge out there.
Loud voices.
Listen to each other because there's a lot of knowledge.
One thing we're trying to do, get everybody to work together. So I appreciate your time. Thanks, everybody. It's been a great afternoon. And May 23rd, don't forget the good, the bad, the ugly at the Capitol. And check out kukulcouncil.org. Have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha and live well.
Hello.